Welcome to the C3 Church Watson podcast. Our vision is to connect you to Jesus, grow you as a disciple, and help you serve his purpose. We hope you are blessed by this week's message.
Good morning. My name is John. Oh, thank you. I feel quite special now. Oh, it's getting overwhelming. Today we start a new series. And you may have noticed on the little board outside, it said prayer. And that's because there weren't enough K's to say ask, seek, knock. That's a lot of K's, really. Four K's. But prayer is such a wonderful thing to talk about. And we are aware that Scripture is constantly reminding us to seek God. What an exciting thing to do. And it ought to be the center of our lives, that we are going to look at ways in the next few weeks of doing prayer. And what is prayer? Well, prayer, to my way of thinking, is communion with God. God, the Father of our Lord Jesus. And communion with the Father is a two-way thing. We speak to him, he speaks to us. In Hebrews chapter 11, we read, it's impossible to please God without faith. Anyone who wants to come to him must believe that God exists, and who sincerely seek him. He rewards those who sincerely seek him. You say, well, what about the faith bit? Because it's impossible to believe him without faith. Let's keep that in perspective. Faith represents an acknowledgement that he is God and we're not. And you can start with that much faith and that pleases God. He's not asking you for the faith to see the whole world saved in the next 10 minutes. That'd be great, but that's not what he's asking for. And when David was reflecting on this in Psalm 17, he said, my heart has heard you say, come and talk with me. And my heart responds, Lord, I am coming. What a wonderful heart attitude that is. So I've entitled this message, Clear the Decks. And when I looked up what that meant, because I believe that God actually said that's the name of the title of the talk, I thought, great, hey, what on earth does it mean? Where did it come from? And I discovered that this expression originated, the earliest reference to it is 1630, and it was an expression used in the Royal Navy. And clear the decks meant we're coming into battle, get rid of all the stuff that's on the decks so it won't impede us from doing the battle stuff. Well, now I understood why clear the decks. Because I think that all of us have barriers that stop us praying. And so, clear the decks. So I want to look at three things that may be barriers in your life, and there may be others, and there probably are, but these are ones I can relate to, and I hope you can too. And then in the subsequent weeks, people are going to develop this whole concept of prayer and what it means a bit further. But for me, let's get started. So what are the things that are stopping us? What are the barriers that stop us going into battle? And the first one that I can see is, I can't get started. I just can't start this. It's too big. Did you know that we're actually spiritual beings in a temporary physical body? Whereas we tend to live as if we're physical beings with a passing interest in spiritual things. And if you've done the Freedom Course, you'll know that's one of the things that they say very early on. We are spiritual beings. So we need to confront the flesh about this. We all have this body thing. And our body is constantly saying, I'm hungry, I'm thirsty, I need to watch television, I need a beer, I definitely need a whiskey. Oh, I just need to daydream and relax. And most of those things are okay. Most of those things have their place. But let's have a look at what Paul said to the church at Colossae. He said, if you then who've been raised up with Christ, keep seeking the things above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. Set your mind on the things above, not on the things that are on earth. For you have died, and your life is hidden with Christ. Or maybe you're thinking, well, I just can't manage this. I can't spend an hour with God. I can't do what Yongi Cho used to do, who said, the busier I get, the more I pray. And so he'd pray for 4 hours. You're not being called to do that. Not yet. So can I suggest, if that number one barrier, I can't get started, is working against you, then set yourself a realistic goal. 10 minutes will do. In fact, that great man of God, Smith Wigglesworth, said, I never pray for more than 20 minutes. He also said, I never go for 20 minutes without praying. Drat. I thought there was a way out there. Just set yourself. 10 minutes target is good. Is good. And at the end of it, do what Psalm 46 suggests. Be still and know that I am God. At the end of your prayer time, give God a couple of minutes because he wants to talk to you. And the first time I tried this, when I heard about this, I thought, I don't know. I'll give it a go. God, you've got 5 minutes. This is after continuous praise and worship for at least 10 minutes. And I waited and nothing came until right at the end. And he said, I'm glad you're doing this. And that was it. Well, that was deep. But you'll know him when he talks to you. In fact, Jesus himself said in John 10, he goes before them and the sheep follow him because they know his voice. You know, it was a funny story happened to me a few years ago. I think it's funny. I went to a leadership conference at Bethel in Redding, in California, which was so exciting. But 2 weeks before I went, as I was praying and thanking God that I was going there, he said to me, listen carefully to what Casey says. That meant nothing to me. So I tucked it away, did a Mary, pondered it in my heart. and didn't think a thing of it. When we got to the conference, one of the things that happened was that certain of the people from the graduate school of Supernatural would spend time with each person on the conference for 15 minutes and just seeking God and listening to what God had to say. So I thought, oh, this would be great. But they were recording it all, and then the recording would be transcribed and sent to each person. And so I was introduced to the three people. There was Jürgen from Germany and blah, 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 and Casey. Now you'd think, okay, this is Casey. Listen carefully to what he has to say. In fact, when I first heard that, I thought Casey was a girl anyway. But it wasn't. He wasn't. I'm not going there. And so they spoke over me and blah, 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 and on it went. And I thought, great, when I get home, I'll get that transcribed and so on. They lost the transcript. They lost the recording. They couldn't find it. Listen carefully to what Casey said. I remember one thing that he said. That's enough, but it wasn't. But look, the thing I'm saying is that God will actually speak to you. As we speak to him, we don't give him a great shopping list of stuff. We praise him and worship him because he wants to be in relationship with us. And it's not a question so much of us being disciplined to do this thing because I've got to do this thing. It's a question of being disciplined to do this thing because he loves us. And he wants to spend time with us. So barrier number one, please make a start. Just get going. And if it's 5 minutes or 10 minutes, that's great. And let it grow. And if it grows, it grows. He'll do that. The second barrier is, I am unworthy. Or even unloved. Okay, let's just get something straight. If worthiness was the benchmark by which people could enter into a prayer space, then the number of people who would be praying would be exactly zero. None of us are worthy, nor will we ever be worthy, but for one fact. And his name is Jesus, and he shed his blood on the cross, and he did that to make us worthy. And that is the only basis on which we are worthy. And we come covered in the blood of Jesus, and what God sees in us is the righteousness of Christ. Now, I'm not suggesting that we don't have to sort a few things out. Of course we do. And God takes us on this road of sanctification. And it's a long road. And it goes all the way until we expire. Our use-by date is up, and we're able to go into glory. But during that process of sanctification, we are also justified. We stand justified before God because of what Jesus did on the cross. And this world doesn't make sense of that. It can't, because we think, oh, sin, punishment, if I get that wrong, I'm going to be judged. It's all about me. No. I drove past a bus on Thursday, and there was an advertisement on the side of the bus for an institution, an educational institution in Canberra, and it had written on the side of the bus, it's all about you. Well, actually, our lives are different. It's all about Jesus. It's all about him. And then you can put in little brackets afterwards, and us. Notice not and me, and us. Because to walk through this life in prayer, we need each other. Oh, we need each other. But he is the worthy one. He is entirely worthy because he lives and reigns with the Father, and he lived a life without spot or blemish. And once we have invited him into our lives, we are made worthy by his righteousness. In the book of Romans, Paul wrote, "We are made right with God by placing our faith in Jesus Christ. And this is true for everyone who believes, no matter who we are. For everyone has sinned. We all fall short of God's glorious standard. Yet God, in his grace, freely makes us right in his sight. He did this through Jesus Christ when he freed us from the penalty of our sins." We're not perfect, but we are made right before God, and there is nothing that stands in the way between us and God if we have repented of what we've done wrong. So part of clearing the decks is, one, knowing that we're made worthy, but it's also repenting from anything that's gone on beforehand. Keep a short account with God. Don't leave stuff hanging around. If you get it wrong, tell him. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. That's the promise of Jesus, that we don't have to hang on to that stuff. We bring it before his throne and let him cleanse us. And he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins. You know, the faithful bit we all get. The just bit, that's hard. Until you see what he's saying. It's the justice of God that he poured out our sins on him. So that Isaiah, when he was looking into the future, was able to say, the truth is that he was pierced for my transgressions, our transgressions. He was crushed by our iniquities, and the Lord laid on him the sin of us all. And so Jesus Christ has taken that, has done it, and it is certainly not the case that you're unworthy, therefore you can't come to God, because it's not up to our worthiness, it's the worthiness of the Lamb of God who was slain before the foundation of the world. And Paul wrote to the Corinthians, "For God made Christ, who never sinned, to be the offering for our sin, so that we could be made right with God through Christ." And there's another little factor that sneaks in here, clearing the decks. I am unworthy. No, I'm not. I'm made worthy by Christ. I am unloved. No, I'm not. He died for me. And there's a little sneaky one that comes in, and his name is Satan. And he would love to continue accusing you, accusing you, accusing you, even though we have confessed our sins and God says, "I have made you righteous." And he will keep whispering, "You are unworthy." And he will do that as long as we allow him to continue. "Then I heard a loud voice shouting across the heavens, 'It has come at last, salvation and power and the kingdom of our God and the authority of his Christ. for the accuser of our brothers and sisters has been thrown down to earth. The one who accuses us before our God day and night. He will whisper, he will bring to your mind all the things that have happened in the past. He will lie. He will promote arrogance and independence. He will set himself up in the place of God. He will belittle God. He will belittle God's people. He will sift us. He will undermine us. He will tempt us. He will constantly look for footholds and opportunities, and he will sow disunity. And he is subject to the name and power of the Lord Jesus Christ, and never will it be different. We have authority to take authority over the accuser and say, well, may you say, well, we won't go on with that, that Jesus has saved you, but what about this and what about that? And do you remember the time when, shut up, devil, in Jesus' name, I take authority over your accusations and I speak salvation and life into my existence. In fact, the Word of God says in 1 John chapter 3, verse 8, for this reason was the Son of God manifest, to destroy the works of the evil one. That's why he came. So let's do away with that unloved, unworthy. Number three, final barrier, God is too busy to be concerned about me. No. I had this notion in my head for years and years and years that God was like a very, very big CEO. And I could occasionally get an appointment with him if it was really important. And that's the way I walked through my Christian life until I went through freedom and I suddenly had this amazing revelation that God is omnipresent and that he is ever available to speak to me 24 hours a day, every day. And he is interested to the point where you think, well, do you really? Are you really interested? He knows how many hairs are on your head. Not one sparrow falls to the ground without him knowing about it. He is incredibly interested in you and every little detail of your life because he wants to be richly in relationship with you. There is nothing that he's not interested about. And so when you talk to him in this prayer time that you have, tell him everything, even the grubby things, even the things that you think are relatively unimportant in the scheme of the King and Creator of the universe, think sparrows. He so much wants to spend time with you, more than you and we want to spend time with him. He loves you with a deep, deep love. And that love is everlasting and it ain't going away. So with respect to your prayer time, let it be deep and rich. Encourage one another in this because it's hard. Prayer time is hard. And these little prayer cards for the Salvation Prayer Group. You know, D.L. Moody, that great evangelist who did so much work in Britain and the United States, he had 100 people on a list who hadn't been saved. And he'd pray for them every day, and as they got saved, he'd tick them off. When he died, 96 of them had been saved. And the other four got saved at his funeral. Praise God. Just encourage you to pray. Let your heart be known to God. Because as we do that, his heart becomes known to us. Delight yourself in the Lord, and he will grant you the desires of your heart. As we spend time with him, he changes our heart so that our desires line up with his. Maybe for some of you, this is a bit of a mystery. You haven't started on that walk with Jesus yet. Wow, what an opportunity it is. Jesus said, you must be born again. You must be born again. If you believe in your heart and you confess with your lips that Jesus is Lord, you will be saved. So I'm just inviting anybody here who has not yet stepped into that state of being born again. As we close our eyes, I'm asking for those who would like to answer that invitation, whether you're in the building or you're online. If you feel that your heart is thumping a little bit because you haven't made that choice yet, God is calling. Jesus is calling to you now. So if you feel that that's you and you'd like to accept Jesus into your heart, we're going to pray a prayer together. But before we do that, I'd like you just to raise your hand if you would. Just say, yeah, that's me. I'm going to pray this prayer. I want to stand for Jesus in my life. If that is you, could you raise your hand now? We give you the praise, Father. We thank you, Lord. Let's pray this prayer together. Dear Jesus, thank you that you want to commune with me. Give my life to you this morning. I ask you to forgive my sins. Cleanse me from all unrighteousness. I want to be your child and live for you forevermore. Amen.
Thanks for listening. We hope to see you in church again this weekend. To find out more about our church, find us online at c3churchwatson.com.au.